Brought to you with a little soul music this evening. You're listening to Tall Cat Psychic 101. I'm a modern psychic medium. I am a psychic medium. I'm not new age, new wave, or old school. My inner child is outward bound. I'm a clinically tested, post-dated, factory-authorized, certified, sanctified, bona fide psychic medium. I've attended all the big-name seminars. Virtues and Brown. I'm a modern psychic medium. I'm proactive outreach, high concept, low maintenance, caring, healing, sharing, supportive, caregiving, bonding, modern psychic medium. My light body is high maintenance. I am vegan, vegetarian, and eat raw food to keep it that way. I've meditated, cleared my aura, opened my chakras, said affirmations, examined my beliefs, align my spine, focus my energy. I am a modern psychic medium. I'm riding the wave and pushing the envelope. I'm up front, rough, tough, and hard to block. I like to party like it's 2012. I've dumped the third dimension. I'm interactive and hyperactive, high vibration, low density, user-friendly being of light. I'm a modern psychic medium. I'm a modern psychic medium. I'm a modern psychic medium, a medium for the millennium, politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I'm multitask and multi-talent. I'm built to last. I channel masters, speak with angels, have an online mail-order PhD in metaphysics. I'm cutting edge with a state-of-the-art website, uplinked and downloaded. I'm in the moment, on the edge, and over the top. I take it slow, I go with the flow. I ride with the tide, I got glide in my stride. I'm hanging in, there ain't no doubt. I'm hanging tough, over and out. Whew! I am a modern psychic medium. What do you say we do a show? I'm going to open up the call lines in just a minute. Here's the numbers in case you want to call in. It's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. My website is Karen Tallcat with a K Conley. I offer psychic readings and classes. You can contact me for a personal reading through the website or through my MrTallcat@gmail.com. Take a look at the website if you wish while you listen. I'm going to keep talking and we'll be taking calls too because tonight is Just Tallcat. If you'd like a sample mini reading during the show, please limit it to one question. Or if you have commentary or question about what I'm discussing, just call me. I love taking calls and I'm easy to talk to. I got to tell you, man, there is no hierarchy like the current New Age lightworkers' divisions, labels, and categories. It's true. It's really true. Is there a secret federal New Age commission that regulates, gives ratings, and censors certain words? I wonder. You know, there was that New Age movie called The Secret. We know the New Age spiritual movement is not commercial-free. We are becoming marketing experts for seminars, retreats, while on our way to yet another certification or training to operate some newfangled spiritual gadget. We want to be on TV and radio and get published. It's the spiritual marketplace of 2008. Makes you wonder how the ancient masters, chiefs, and shamans made it without gadgets, certificates, and websites. For those of you joining us now, the call lines are now officially open. For a mini sample reading or to offer commentary, the numbers once again are 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I believe I have a caller on the line. Is there a caller?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, who am I talking to?
This is Linda from Tampa, Florida.
Hi, Linda from Tampa, Florida. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What can I do for you?
I have talked to you in the past about a particular work project that I've been involved with the last few years.
Yes.
And I wanted to know tonight if you could give me any insight.
Okay.
Regarding that.
All right. Did you have a particular question or you just want me to jump in?
Well, you can jump in. I guess we've been waiting for funding to restart the company. And in the meantime, I've had something pop up last week, another tentative offer from another company, and I just want to know if I should stick with what I have or I should go in the other direction.
Linda, here's what, this has been an ongoing, as you know, you and I both know, Linda's one of my clients for those of you that don't know that, but this has been an ongoing issue with Linda for quite some time, and what I see is like it looks like a EKG, you know, electrocardiogram, you know, from the past, and it shows, you know, the spikes and the dips, which is sort of, you know, the way that this huge project has been going up, down, and then with flat lines, periodically flatlining, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But there is interest, obviously, there is interest that has been starting to percolate around what you're doing again through these contacts that you're making. You mentioned there's a contact that happened just recently, but I see a couple more things in the right around the corner, soon-to-be future, as potential possibilities for you. Do you know of a couple of other things that are in the making?
Regarding this project or another project? I'm waiting to... We've been told that we have a funding from a large bank, and it's funny that you mentioned EKG, because to make a long story short, once we were awarded a rather large loan, the president of the bank had a major heart attack.
Whoa, girlfriend.
Needed a triple bypass. 3 days later, one of our investors, who happens to be a leading heart surgeon, saves his life and has no idea who this man is. So it's very strange that you brought up an EKG.
That is interesting, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
That is typical spirit, though. That is a way of providing validation so that you know you're really receiving information from not just my mouth or my brain, but from beyond that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the next level. So this, interesting, again, the analogy with, you know, the EKG and the heart attack, I get the word, you know, like resuscitation or revival of what's been going on with your plans and your dreams about the projects that you have,
mm-hmm.
That there is renewed interest in this. This, in particular, there are certain individuals that are going to, and it looks, Linda, like it's just right around the corner, going to grab on with a level of enthusiasm that has been missing in funding and in backup from the people that you've been working with. And also, it looks like a good, solid layer of integrity to it as well, which is really what you've been waiting for.
Okay. It seems like it's taken so long, and I'm almost ready to walk away, and I really don't want to give up because there's many ways we can help people as well as, you know, continue to do business. But, you know, when you talk about time, I know sometimes time is different, you know, when we talk. So are we talking, is it weeks? Is it months? Is it another year?
No, this looks really close, because when I say around the corner, usually, and of course, don't take it as a literal timing, because,
okay.
I could be totally not accurate in that way. But when it's around the corner like that, when I get that phrase, that's my symbol that usually lets me know it looks like it's a matter of months, like under a year. And in your case, it looks like really short. Like this could come forward really quickly. Maybe as I know funding applications and such traditionally are very lengthy as far as getting a response. But this looks like there's some kind of special intervention that's going to happen in this area, and it's going to be much quicker turnaround time because I see glitter all over it. And it looks like maybe three, I keep getting the time of like 3 weeks or so.
It's interesting because the country that I'm dealing with, both the president and the vice president of the country have put a mandate on this project. It's just, as you said, the paperwork has taken especially long this summer to get done. And, you know, it's almost like I feel like I'm going to have a baby and you're ready to give birth and you're ready, but it's not quite right yet.
Yes.
But I had something come up last week, and I don't want to abandon this particular project, but it's just been painful. I mean, this has been going on for quite a long time. But
you know,
very serious.
You know, Linda, your commitment to this is not unnoticed by the other side. And as you mentioned before, timing to us is, you know, time and linear time is very, you know, important to us here. And things on the other side, it's not so. You know, when it looks like God is denying us something, very often it's not a denial. It's just a matter of time until it comes through. And this project is so wrapped up with your heart string, and your commitment to it has, although you felt like walking away, it hasn't really ever been something you could completely throw away or put down.
Okay.
So what I'm seeing happening is a new upsurge of movement around interest in this, and with that, following up with backup, financial backup. And this time, when it goes forward, I really do see good, solid forward motion with none of the stuff in the past where there was these terribly big blocks of difficulty and frustration, etc. It truly is as though you are birthing and you're at the last final stages of labor, where
okay.
It's really, really tough and uncomfortable, and you feel like saying, I can't do it. But
well, and it's so interesting that you brought up the analogy about, you know, the EKG, because literally in this particular city where the president of the bank lives, there's 40 million people and I don't know how many cardiologists, and really, of all the cardiologists that could have been assigned, why did the particular person save his life, and he's not only an investor, but his brother is our main investor in the company. It just gave us the chills. We couldn't believe it.
So, Brenda, it has the hallmark of spiritual intervention all over it. That's what I mean when I say I see glitter on it.
Okay.
It is definitely, it looks like a curveball in the individual's life as far as the heart attack goes, but the circumstances that turned it around. This is like a breath of fresh air, and it is some kind of an opening through a lot of resistance that has been present. You know, the project that you've been working on, there is hidden resistance on a lot of energetic levels. That's what slowed it down all these many months and years.
Mm-hmm.
But your stick-to-itiveness and your persistence does matter. And I see an upsurgence and an upswing of hope and possibility here. This incident with the gentleman who had the heart attack, this is like a, the word comes to me, wake-up call. About the part of life that is unseen, and about what's really important and what really matters and what legacy do we leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole reordering of priorities with many people involved in this whole process and the outcome of this project. And I know that you're working on building in this project, building schools. And I actually see what used to be, and when I would look at this for you, I used to always see the buildings half built and sort of abandoned,
mm-hmm.
you know, half finished. But when I look at it now, I can actually see motion happening as far as the building. And the best part of what I see in that visual, Linda, is that there is laughter of children in the area. And it is the buildings are completed enough that children can go in and out and things are actually happening there.
Oh, that's great. I was actually asked by the company to actually write a philanthropic mission statement for the bank, and that was included in my statement. So I had to do that as part of our due diligence upon obtaining this rather large loan.
Yes.
They're also up for possibly applying for a grant, too. So, well, that's great news.
Oh, Linda, the doors are opening, girlfriend.
I hope so. I hope we can do
that. At long last.
Thank you so much, Karen.
I do want to leave you with one thought.
Okay.
And that is, when you're thinking about this, because of what you've been through,
mm-hmm.
you know, many, many frustrating holdups and almost there and then it's not happening kind of a thing. When your whole motivation is purely humanitarian,
mm-hmm.
I want to suggest that you remember to be so cautious of your thought processes because when we worry or when we think of, you know, potential roadblocks, et cetera, that is equivalent to planning an event. And because your past experience with this has been uneven,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't apply to now. This is a new page and a new chapter, so make sure your thought processes around this are extremely positive and that you're creating a reality for this to really flower in because I'm happy to hear this news. I feel so good about it.
Yeah, we're happy. It's just tedious to get it done. We're almost there, and we're just crossing our fingers that at the last minute someone doesn't drop the ball.
It's going to be beautiful. It's
okay.
going to be a beautiful outcome. It
okay.
absolutely is. And I do hope that you'll keep in touch with me about this.
I will. Thank you very much.
Please
thanks
do. And thanks for calling, Linda.
Thanks, Karen. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So as we were saying, back to my discussion here, there's nothing essentially wrong with the spiritual marketplace and the commercial side of it. There's nothing wrong with any of the certifications that we seek or any of our divisions or our labels, really, but except for one thing. We would do well to engage and conquer the self first. And this is what I'm talking about. Now, before I go on, let me just say, in case I forget, that we are open for calls. If you'd like a mini sample reading, you can call for that or to make commentary on what we're discussing. Either one is good. The number is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. So where I live, I hear this a lot. We are changing the energy on the mountain, meaning basically the other people on the mountain. I say, hey, change your own energy first, then see what happens. People may be more enlightened than you think. Why is it the non metaphysical people that need the changing, saving, and redirection. Why the out there and not the in here stuff? Is it really our job to enlighten others? Does that not sound like what was sort of taught in Sunday school? Now, who said that we should enlighten others? Christ? Buddha? Hare Krishna? Change the energy of the mountain. Or I hear that a lot, and I also hear, we're going to heal the planet. Stop the corporations and the industries that are polluting Mother Nature. Protest the war. We're going to protest the war, and we're going to fight against the war. Now, isn't fighting for peace kind of like screwing for virginity? The thing is, we all play a part in the symphony. You know, once our minds are cleared of unconscious negative emotions, fixations, false identifications, and all those, you know, mental filters, I believe that we won't have the need to see the change like out there, because in here, you know, within us will be altered. We have a caller. Who am I speaking with?
Hello there. This is Brian from Indiana.
Brian from Indiana, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Well, I just had a question for you. I was wondering if you could look into my spiritual growth and how I'm doing.
Okay. Brian, what I see around you is, hold on just a second. It looks to me that you have been in the past, recent past, not, you know, distant, but recent past, been experimenting quite a bit with a lot of different, belief systems or ways of being in the spiritual realms. And it's like an experimentation process of what works and what doesn't. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so this comes from within you in a really genuine place of actual, real hunger to know. And the fact that you have tried a little of this and tried a little of that and then tried a little of this and then left that and tried that, all that kind of moving around like that may seem to social consciousness or, you know, society to be uneven or unstable, but actually you're like right in place where you should be, because these different experimentations you've had with different systems and ways of doing things is your process of evolving. And we never evolve if we aren't willing to change and try different things. Now, what I see that you're in, are you journaling or writing something, doing a lot of note-taking?
Just with my dream time.
Okay. Are you writing down what you're dreaming?
For the most part, the ones that come to the strongest, to the forefront for me, yes.
Okay, because I'm getting a really clear visual of a open blank book with a beautiful, looks like a black pen, and the book is like a navy blue, and that doesn't have to be anything that you have or me seeing something that you have. That is just detail in order for you to sort of grab onto this image. And the image is about the importance of recording what's happening with you in your sleep, because this sleep process with you is when you go to sleep, all of us, when we go to sleep, our ego goes to sleep, but our spirit wakes up. So you're onto something really, really key to the foundation of your spiritual development by following your dreams. And you're a vivid dreamer, yes?
Oh, yeah.
And you dream in color, which is unusual for a guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you also seem to have in your dreams a lot of what I see as some very clear, dramatic symbology. Or clear symbols, or the moral of the story is, you know, there's always a beginning, a middle, and an end to the dreams that contain messages with you, correct?
Yes, it is.
So what is important, and it is very important, to date in your journal, keep it by your bedside as a discipline.
Yes.
With your pen, date the page and write down, if you just get the gist of the dream, it's good. If you want to write more, that's cool too. But whatever it is, don't let the dreams escape, because you're receiving a pattern of instruction through your subconscious mind while you sleep.
Ah, that's what's happening. Okay.
And it is like pieces of a puzzle, and they may not come to you in linear fashion. so that you see that's part one, part two, you know, part one, part A, part two, part B, and all that. It's not that way. It's not right brain. It's totally creative process. And as it goes along and you record it and you look back at it, you're going to start to see this lively, engaging, really full of revelation process on the page. And as far as the beginning this process of recording the dreams, it's not going to be very long at all before you are functioning extremely accurately outside of the sleep state and in your waking state as far as being able to access information and guidance instantly. You're really already pretty good at it, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You're very tuned in and very intuitive. But the process of recording the dreams is a step or a piece of increasing your waking ability to visualize. Actually, you do visualize when you're speaking, don't you? You're very visual in all ways.
For the most part, yes. But it's really calming the mind is my biggest challenge, is really focusing.
Yes, and here's...
especially at night when I go into meditation while I'm at work, I usually can do that pretty well. But I've been sensing a lot of spinning energies around me when I go into deep meditation.
Uh-huh.
And I feel this is cleansing. So it's pretty powerful.
Is the spin, does the spinning feel kind of like rotating energy around your body?
Yes. Well, it's within and on the outside. Like my whole head is like I'm pushing, being pushed or pulled to one side or the other. It's very, and it's going up from the back of my spine. Kind of like the kundalini energy or a rotating field of light, what you call the Merkaba. I'm not sure what this is, like an activation, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, here's what I see what's happening with your meditation. You're starting to hit what I call the groove, you know, the really good spot, the place of no thought, the place of connecting with what I like to call the void or source. The place where it's totally quiet and your mind is still and you're beyond your body and you're in a place of stillness and you're at the point of this is the spinning feeling that you have is counterclockwise as I see it.
Yeah.
And that is a very good sign of you actually moving into the deep, deep realms of meditation where you can have many amazing experiences. But one caution is, as you're meditating and you feel the counterclockwise spin, I encourage you to maintain your focus on source or the void and the stillness of mind. It's very easy when we have what I call events or a parapsychological events or paranormal, that's what I'm saying, paranormal events when we're meditating, that we become entertained by them.
I've never felt anything like that before a couple weeks back, and what happened was when it happened, it was like, wow, first it's like, you know, this is amazing, but then the second time it happened, I was like, oh, I'm used to it now. So,
yes, very good. That's a great reaction.
Which is really good, and be focused and calm,
And it wouldn't be happening if your focus wasn't really, really doing, if you weren't doing extremely well with focus, you wouldn't have that sensation of the counterclockwise spin.
Ah, that's, so that's an indication to let me know that I am focusing pretty well.
It means that you're really where you should be and keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going forward. And you're hitting a spot that is really, really productive and helpful. And don't have any expectations about it. Just go with it. You know, maintain your focus, and see where it leads you. I get the impression that this counterclockwise spin feeling has to do with, you know, the bands around your body.
Yes.
There's an inner and outer band.
Yes.
Those are actually moving.
Ah, okay.
And
I feel extreme amount of heat that radiates in my heart, too.
Heat is a wonderful sign.
Ah, I see.
And a wonderful sign. What's happening?
My forehead gets very, like, I feel like I'm getting a fever, but it's not, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It is energy moving up through your seals or your chakra system, and the warmth around your heart is often a spot where the energy tends to pause as we raise it up closer to the, you know, to the top of our heads or the back of our neck.
Yeah. Ah, I see. And one last thing. I was wondering, that is one of my ultimate gifts is I'm working on also a deep trans channeling, to become a deep trans channeler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm asking, if you sense when I'm actually going to break through to this.
Well, you're moving in that direction at exactly the right pace. You should be moving toward it with.
Okay.
Rushing never is exactly worthwhile. Just enjoy the process as you go along, because each event is precious and meaningful. And look forward to the ultimate outcome of it, of course, but enjoy the scenery as you go along. And I also feel that there's going to be a connection pretty much in the very near future with someone that's going to be teaching you from the invisible as far as helping you and guiding you with this.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
You're doing really well.
Thank you so much, dear. I appreciate it for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, where I live, they say they're going to change the energy on the mountain, meaning the other people. Like I said, I say, hey, change your own energy first, then see what happens. You know, why is it the non-metaphysical people that need the changing, the saving, the redirection? And doesn't that sound like what was taught in Sunday school? I mean, who said we should enlighten others? Christ, Buddha, Hare Krishna? Change the energy on the mountain, and we're going to heal the planet and stop the corporations and protest the war. The thing is, we all play a part in the symphony of life. You know, when our minds are cleared of unconscious negative emotions, fixations, all those false mental filters that we have, this clearing of the mind takes, you know, time and development. But once we begin to clear out some of the, you know, trash and garbage and excess baggage and stuff, the clutter in our head, we won't see the need to change the out there, because the in there is altering. It is altering as we examine it. And I think we have a caller. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Nancy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm sorry. Could you say your name one more time?
This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington State.
Washington State, very cool.
Yes.
What can I do for you, my friend?
Well, could you tell me anything about my spiritual path?
Your spiritual path. This has been the $20 million question with you recently, yes?
Yes.
And it's sort of like almost, though, regardless of what your age is and in years and earthly time, it's almost as though you're like a little kid, why am I here? Where should I go, and what am I doing?
Yes.
You know, all the big questions. And the fact that you're asking them means that you're on your way already. That's a wonderful thing, that you're asking these questions. Now, Nancy, it looks to me like you have a little uncertainty and hesitation in some way about, I don't know if it's from past experience or past teaching or an old belief system, but it looks like something that's kind of a little bit of a snag for you as far as really stepping out there into the great unknown. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And it feels to me as though it's some type of a very traditional background, perhaps traditional religion, or something that you might have picked up, even indirectly from adults that were around you in your life, or some event of influence that affected you maybe more than you're really aware of. And what the message I would like to get across to you more than anything tonight is that the purpose of why you are here, essentially, just in the essential sense, is to experience as many things as you can and to gain wisdom, because that's how your soul advances. And that includes setbacks, backups, changing your mind, making mistakes, stepping into messes, you know, getting your feet dirty, and all of that. So the message I would like you to get from that is, like, look at this with a sense of adventure, like you're just going to jump off the cliff and with faith and just fly. Now, you've been looking at a couple of different... Do you do yoga?
No, I haven't.
I have a feeling that the practice of yoga for you would be really, really beneficial for your body, of course. It is for all bodies. But beyond that, the practice of stillness of the mind and focus combined with your body postures is the beginning of you really getting the hang of meditation. Have you struggled with meditation in the past?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I'm getting that information for you. You really feel like you will never meditate because you're restless and your mind goes all over the place. But everybody's like that when they start meditating. Here's what you have to know. You have to know that you have determined, I am going to be still and get past my twitchy body and my gazillion thoughts in my mind because I intend to learn to meditate. And that's it. But the beginning for you is to go into the practice of yoga, if that appeals to you, because in the movement of your body, you'll find it easier to stop thinking and to stop running around inside your own head, so to speak, Nancy. And as you're doing that, you'll hit this place of peaceful no thought. And I'm speaking the basic hatha-type yoga practice, not any of the exceptionally difficult ones that are, you know, that are a little more challenging. I'm talking the real basic, easy yoga beginning level where you hold the poses for a good amount of time.
Okay.
You're going to really start to settle in as to where, you know, what you're comfortable with and what you're doing and where you're going once you start the yoga. Also, the practice of a short meditation every day, like limit yourself to 10 minutes of quiet time and just follow your breathing to start with. These practices are going to take you directly into your spiritual path, and there are all kinds of adventures ahead of you with this. It is going to really wake up your life and make you feel like you are in charge of your own reality.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Okay, I want to say that you're waking up to life at a mature age is what comes to me. You know, you're a grown-up.
Yeah.
But you're waking up like a little kid.
Okay.
And that little kid attitude is really going to help you find your way.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. I'd like to suggest a book for you.
Okay.
I'd like to suggest you look up and see if it appeals to you. The book is by Abraham Hicks, which is a channeled energy, and the name of the book is Ask, and it is given.
Okay.
You can find Abraham, like in the Bible, and Hicks, H-I-C-K-S, online and see what their philosophy is and see if it appeals to you.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nancy. I'm glad you called.
Okay, me too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, as I was saying, we are, once we actually get into our own inner, and the outer is less important, and we start dealing with our own illusions and delusions, etc., we don't so much see the need to change what's out there, because in here, inside us, is altering. There's a story of a psychiatrist in Hawaii who cured a complete ward of criminally insane patients without ever seeing any of them. Now, it's not an urban legend. His name is Dr. He's Hawaiian. Forgive the pronunciation. Ahala Kala Hugh Len. He worked in the Hawaii State Mental Hospital for 4 years. The ward was for the criminally insane and was a very dangerous unit. The psychologist and psychiatrist quit on a monthly basis. I mean, the staff was called in sick a lot or simply quit. People would just walk through that ward with like their backs against the wall, you know, afraid of being attacked by the patients. So it was obviously not a pleasant place to live, work, or visit. I think we have a caller. Who am I speaking with?
Good evening, Karen. This is Jim from Florida. How have you been?
Hi, Jim. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I heard you on James Gillian. That was a great conversation you guys had being up in the mountains.
Oh, yeah. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. How can I help you tonight?
I just had a quick question regarding my son's mother, my ex-wife. She's having problems with her current husband. Do you see that being resolved, or is she heading for another divorce?
Well, here's what I see about the current husband. I actually see a visual of him like on his back on a floor like a 2-year-old having a tantrum, like kicking his legs and screaming. You know, like just having a fit. Is that kind of what's going on?
That he's acting like that?
Yes.
No, I think he's more of the responsible one. She's acting like a, her pattern seems to be acting like a...
Okay, perhaps I'm seeing, what I'm seeing is her energy rather than his.
Yes.
But somebody's having a tantrum.
That would be her, I think. Okay.
And so, this is your ex-wife?
Yes.
And you two are still friends, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so this current husband, is your ex-wife, is there an issue with any type of addiction with her?
Any type of what?
Addiction.
No, not that I know of.
Okay. I am not trying to insist that it is addiction, but what I mean by addiction is that it could be a repetitive behavior pattern, not necessarily just alcoholism or
right.
drugs or that sort of thing.
Yeah, that could be, yes.
And I also see her, is there a dog involved in the family?
No.
A pet dog?
No, maybe just at their mother's house, but not in the family.
Okay, all right. So what you really want to know is what the outcome will be between she and her current husband?
Yeah, I was just concerned about my son, my 7-year-old, going through another thing, but
okay. You're right to feel this concern. I want to tell you that the concern you have is coming from your inner leading. It's nothing to panic over. It's nothing to get frantic about. But there is a sense of tension in the home that he is aware of, and it would be very beneficial for you to talk with him about it, give him a chance to verbalize about it, you know, get the child's point of view as to how he feels about what's going on. As long as he can verbalize how he feels, everything should be okay. I see this as like a... you know how in the weather they talk about a storm system that's kind of like sitting over a certain area and it's not moving?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like in Florida?
Yes. Yeah,
like right now in Florida?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what's going on in that relationship. They're sort of stuck in a pattern of stormy things going on. But this, you know, the ultimate outcome of this has the potential to be okay if they both work at it. Most important that you communicate with your son and give him an opportunity to talk to you about it, or use crayons and paper to draw pictures, and as he's drawing and coloring when he's relaxed, because I feel like he likes that sort of thing, then talk to him about it.
Okay, I will. Good advice, yeah.
He's a real good boy, and he just needs a little time to verbalize and know that it's okay to talk about it.
Perfect, yeah. And do you see anything changes for me coming up for the rest of the year? I'm kind of spinning my wheels here.
Are you looking at changing your employment?
Yeah, I'm unemployed and still single right
okay,
now.
Okay, unemployed. All right. You've been unemployed for a while, yes?
Yes, it's been almost
and,
a year.
But I don't see anything shifting as far as the unemployment compensation that you have. That part is good.
I'm not receiving anything.
Oh, you're not receiving anything. Okay. Then let me look a little closer, because I really, you know, Jim, I see... I really see a funnel with money coming toward you. And it's been coming. You know, this money's been on its way for a long period of time. Are you currently trying to manifest money in your life?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's what this means. Because I see it as a funnel, that is a triad on its side, and that's the way I look at the levels of light. And when we manifest, we're actually pulling down from source, from our own escrow of things that are available for us. We're pulling down from source. The manifestation, and yours is money. And as it's moving down this funnel or triangle, what I see is that it's getting closer to your level. So, you know, it's been slow, but that doesn't mean it's not coming. Very important, since it's been slow and there's been glitches and you're trying to manifest and you're not seeing necessarily results, a little bit here, a little bit there, but not big time like you want, important that you don't let go of it and you continue to focus on the outcome of employment that you love and money flowing to you easily and effortlessly, that it is coming, that you keep your focus on it so that it can continue to move toward you.
Okay.
It's things around you at this time may not look like it's coming. That's the time not to quit focusing. Continue to focus whatever you do.
Okay.
Because it's on its way.
Okay, great. Okay.
Don't
and anything relationship-wise developing?
I see the relationship coming as far as time sequence goes after the money manifests, not because she's, you know, connected to the need for money or anything like that. It just seems to be the sequence of it, the way it seems to be coming in as far as order goes, like the money might manifest first, and for some reason the relief you're going to feel about that security may open things up for the relationship to come. You are meant definitely to connect with your, I don't like the expression soulmate, but for lack of a better word, soulmate, in the near future, probably in the coming year. I see that definitely being a solid, good thing.
Okay, great. Thank you, Talkat. Blessings and namaste.
Thank you, James. Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. So back to our urban legend, the Hawaiian doctor that worked in the state mental hospital. This criminally insane unit was so dangerous that the staff simply called in or just quit, and it was people were afraid of being attacked by the patients. It was a horrible place to live, work, or visit. Now, they couldn't... Oh, we have another caller. Who am I speaking with?
Yes, Frank, before you.
I'm sorry, your name?
My name is Frank.
Frank, what can I do for you, Frank?
Yes, I have a brother. Basically, he's going to get some legal documents in September, and I'd like to know if he's going to side with me in October.
Well, this is you and your brother involved in a legal situation, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, no, we're not, but he wants to sit on the fence, but I'm trying to persuade him to join me.
Well, here's what I was going to say. What I see is that you don't agree on the approach, the two of you. At least you haven't so far. It's not like you're in a neck and neck argument over it, but he is a more cautious individual, and he is also a person that is slower to make decisions in general, right?
Yes.
Tell me just a bit about the legal situation. It's papers?
Yes, it has to do with papers, yes.
Okay, and you need his signature for these papers, right?
Well, yes.
Or
part
least,
of it.
I'm sorry,
and,
go ahead.
Yes, part of it. I'd like him to sign the paper, basically. That way we're both covered, but I'm taking the full burden of this.
A suggestion for you, Frank. This will really help you. Because you and your brother are, when you communicate with each other, it feels as though you're not quite on the same page as far as understanding each other, and you feel a little bit of sense of pressure about this, whereas he wants to slow down and not move. So when there's a difference of opinion like that, a really good way to handle it is to talk about it a little less, although I sense there is a time factor involved in this. Nevertheless, give this a try. Ask your contacts in the invisible, call them guides, angels, whatever you wish to call them. But connect with the invisible forces around you that love you and want to help you with the process of your life. Ask those forces to go connect with your brother's connections in the invisible and have the invisible level take care of some of the communication between the two of you. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes,
okay.
I've been praying.
It will really help when you do speak with him. It will help the communication to be more clear. And a suggestion when you're talking with him, really make yourself sit and listen to his concerns. Not that you aren't, but make it a point to really let him know that you are really listening, because he's going to relax a little bit when you do that.
Okay.
Okay? Does that help you?
Yes, it does. It does. I was wondering, as for the other party, which I have this this petition against?
Yes. The other party?
Yes.
Are you asking sort of how it's going to turn out?
Yes, and how long?
Oh, it's going to be, as far as time goes, I cannot see a particular, I can't get a grab on an exact timeline, probably because there's so many individuals involved in it. But as far as outcome goes, it's very important that you focus on the right thing and the ultimate good for all involved and keep your focus on that, because in all legal matters, everybody wants to feel justified, you know, and everybody wants it to go their way. But the truth of the matter in legal, most every legal situation, is that everybody's going to have to compromise a little bit for the ultimate outcome. So be willing to compromise somewhat and keep your positive focus that is going to be the, you know, an all over positive outcome. And that will make it come to an end quicker for you. Okay?
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Frank. It was great talking to you, and I wish you well.
Thank you very much, and blessings to you.
Blessings to you, too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So, Dr. Len, the psychiatrist in the Hawaiian hospital, he actually, they could not get anyone to take the position of psychiatrist on that unit. They didn't know what to do. He agreed to take the position on the basis that he would never see a patient in person. He agreed only to have an office to review their files. And while he looked at their files, he would work on himself. As he worked on himself, the patients began to heal. After a few months, the patients that had to be shackled were being allowed to walk freely, and others that required really heavy medication were like off their meds. And those who had no chance of ever getting released were being freed. In addition to this, the staff began to enjoy coming to work, and absenteeism and turnover like disappeared. So the hospital ended up with more staff than was needed because all the staff was showing up for work and the patients were being released, going home. And today, that ward is closed. Now, the million-dollar question. What was Dr. Len doing within himself that caused the patients to change? Here comes the truth. He said, "I was simply healing the part of me that created them." He further explained that having total responsibility for your life means that everything in your life, simply because it is in your life, is your responsibility. In a literal sense, the entire world is your creation. Tough to swallow, huh? If you take complete responsibility for your life, then everything you see, hear, taste, smell, or touch, or in any way experience, is your responsibility because it is in your life. You know, that means terrorists, GW, the economy, or anything else you experience that you don't like, it's up to you to heal. They don't these outside events, people, places, things, times, don't exist in a manner of speaking except as projections from inside you. Get that? Isn't that big? Yep, it's tough to grasp, let alone accept or actually live. You know, blame is far easier than total responsibility. But according to Dr. Len, who experienced this, one begins to realize that healing others means loving yourself. If you want to improve your life, others in the world, you have to heal your own life. To heal anyone or anything, you must do this by healing yourself. Now, what exactly, in case you're wondering, was Dr. Len doing when he was reviewing all those files in the office by himself? He says he kept saying, "I'm sorry, and I love you." Hear that, Frank, if you're still there. He kept saying, "I'm sorry, and I love you," over and over. That's it. That's all. That's all he did. He sat alone in his office without ever seeing patients repeating those words. Turns out that loving yourself is the greatest way to improve yourself, and as you improve yourself, you improve your world. Now, this person that interviewed the Hawaiian psychiatrist actually praised the interviewer's book, and he mentioned to the author that as he improved himself, the book's vibration would raise, and everyone would feel it when they read it. In short, as the author improved, the readers would improve. The author asked, "What about the books that are already sold and out there?" And the get the answer of Dr. Len, he said, "They aren't out there, the books already sold. They aren't out there," he explained, once again blowing the author's mind with his mystic wisdom. "They are still in you. In short, there is no out there. It would take a whole book to explain this advanced technique with the depth that it deserves, but suffice it to say that when you want to improve anything in your life, there's only one place to look, inside you. And when you look, do it with love. Because, you know, we often, we're like the story, the symbolic snake that used to, the snake that eats its tail. You know, we create our own stuff, and, you know, we create crap and poop, so to speak. And we look at what we create, and we say, that's not mine. I didn't create that. But the truth is, we create crap as easy as we can create crap as easily as we can create a beautiful dream. And guess what else? According to quantum science, when you're not looking, I'm just a waveform. I'm only a metaphysical being caught in a time-space continuum. So it's coming up on the edge of the close of the show. I want to offer a tip of the hat to Mr. George Carlin, who was a modern man. He was a brave comedian and a writer whose material I very much enjoy. I'm Karen Tallcat Conley, and that's my website too, Karen Tallcat with a K, Conley.com. Check it out if you would like to schedule a personal reading. Contact Mr. Dot, Tallcat with a K, at gmail.com. Please stay tuned next week for Galexis. She'll be on next Monday evening. I'll be back on September the 8th at 6 p.m. I'm hanging in, there ain't no doubt. I'm hanging tough, over and out. Sending you on your way with a little more soul. I'll take you there. Ain't nobody crying. I'll take you there. Yeah, baby. See you next time. Bye.